Welcome to this workshop titled School Boards with Foresight. I feel like God has blessed me with thoughts, and I'm praying that He'll bless me with the ability to share them. That's sometimes more difficult. So we could have a little cartoon over here, and there would be a teacher talking to a school board chairman. And the teacher would say, "What are your plans for next school year?" And the school board chairman would say, "I don't know. I don't have 2020 vision." That's the problem that school leaders face when it's 2019 and we don't have 2020 vision. So foresight tries to look ahead and make some plans that will be useful. On the back of your handouts is the parable of the talents. We all know it, and I'm sure you've read it many times. I'm going to read it again to refresh this for you, and we're going to draw lessons from these servants. This is Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his lord's money. After a long time the lord of those servants cometh, and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy lord. Then he which had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." You have my 4 points listed on your handout. We'll begin with the reason for foresight. The 3 servants in this parable were given money, and it had value. They knew it was valuable. And they knew it had to be given back to its owner. It was not a gift to them. They were responsible. They felt the weight of responsibility for the weight of the responsibility that was given to them. Notice that response is part of responsibility. They knew they would have to give a response to their boss about what happened with his money. Now I have a question for you. Which man had the most responsibility? Which servant? It's not a trick question. What do you think? I'm sorry?
1 with 5 talents.
All right. We'll say the 1 with 5 talents had the most responsibility. Did he conduct himself in a more responsible way than the man with 2 talents?
I wouldn't say so.
Say no. We'll leave that for now. What valuable thing have we been given in our schools? I'm sorry, children, lives, future potential. We could say raw materials. They need. There's value, but it needs to be manipulated to be useful. Do we feel the weight of responsibility like these men in the these servants in the parable did? Will we be required to give a response for what we are responsible for? Let's talk a little bit about who's responsible for these children. We know the answers to that. The parents, their parents are responsible for them. But they ask us as a school board to assist them with providing an academic environment, academic training for their children. And I think sometimes I'm probably the youngest one in this room, so I may not have the maturity to say this, but I think sometimes we are a little idealistic in assigning responsibility. Because it feels to me like, yes, we know the parents are ultimately responsible, and we like to think that they're responsible for the children's education, and some parents are, but unfortunately, I think we see parents that pretty much give a large portion of responsibility just plunk on the school board, or on the school. Maybe they don't think of it as a school board. And maybe we as school boards sometimes bear more responsibility for the development of children than we ought to, but I think sometimes it's reality. Am I correct in that, or am I off my rocker? There's a few nods, the rest not sure. So who's responsible? The parents are responsible, but sometimes, whether it's the right idea or not, the school gets a large chunk of a child's development, or the responsibility for that development. So we know that parents ought to be engaged, and maybe we'll talk about helping them get engaged in the child's education a little later, but we have a large responsibility, just like these men. Now, we could say, who has the most responsibility in our schools? Who has the most responsibility for the children in our schools? Parallel question to which servant had the most responsibility. And we would say that it should be the parents. They are the most responsible for their children. But who should behave themselves more responsibly? Parents or school board? And in the parable of the talents, we said that they both behaved responsibly, or the same, with the same responsibility-ness. I didn't write that in my notes, but even though they had different levels of responsibility. So responsibility is the reason that we use foresight. The servants knew that their boss was going to come back. They knew they had to be ready for him. We know that the children in our schools will become adults that God wants to use. We need to be looking ahead and doing what we can to prepare them for those assignments. Now, ignoring that responsibility is a problem that a lot of school boards are stuck in. I've been stuck there, and many, many others are too as well. We're going to take just a little side trip here and talk about that for a minute. Who should act more responsibly, the board of a big school or a little school? I think we know the right answer, but we also know the reality. There's an accountability issue. If you are on the board, or I've never been, but I would think that if you're on the board of a school with maybe 200 students, or maybe just 100, You've got a lot of parents. You've got a lot of people looking at you, staring down your neck. You have to perform. You have to do a good job. In my school, I have four. This past year, there was four students, and there was only two sets of parents. That starts to, I mean, you can easily turn that into just a kangaroo court. And there's a lot of schools, when your school is small, it's so easy to just, ignore the amount of responsibility because it feels so small. And so a question I wrote down, it's an uncomfortable one, and it's not entirely fair, I'll say that, but if school boarding was my job, would I be a valued employee? Now, granted, if I spent all my time doing school board, maybe I'd be more valuable than I am now, but it gives me pause. I may know how to please a boss, or I may know how to please a customer, but am I working that hard for the parents who have taken a whole bunch of their child training responsibility and went plunk on me? So the reason for foresight is responsibility. If you have comments about that later, you're welcome to share them. Let's go to the second point, the action of foresight. And I'd like more discussion from you all here. So we're looking at these servants, and so two of them, when they got these talents given to them, they just got right up and they got busy. And they were traders. And they traded with a goal in mind, and how that goal would have been articulated to them, I don't know. But they knew the boss was coming back. The goal was get some increase to show the boss. Now, I don't imagine that they went out and traded and immediately doubled their money one trade. It was probably incremental, and so they had some patience and they had to keep at this. There was diligence. Probably took a long time. Says the boss was gone for a long time. So foresight will produce actions for us as school boards as well. We need to have goals for our schools. Now maybe it's a general question, but I'll open it up for you. What are goals that we should be looking ahead, setting? This is where we need to be. And it can be anything that comes to your mind. What do you think?
Certain courses learned.
And that's curriculum you're speaking about, is that right? Yes. Okay, we're going to have some goals that high school will complete this, this, and this. That's a goal we have for the high schoolers. Very well.
Consistent communication with staff.
Okay, very well. Maybe that's a problem in the past. We set a new goal. We're going to do better this year, or vastly improve this year, communicating to our staff. Excellent. More goals.
Discipline and order.
I didn't hear it all.
Disciplined and orderly classrooms.
Okay. There was some discipline issues last year, chaotic stuff in the classroom. We're going to make a change. The goal will be orderliness. And then hopefully you have a goal of communicate to the staff, right?
Foundation or equipping for serving.
All right. And that's a big goal. And you could have many different schools will approach that many different ways, but how do we equip these children as they go out the doors? They've got some skills for kingdom service. That's right. There's lots of things. You could have financial goals, salary goals for your staff quality goals. We are wanting to recruit high quality teachers. Maybe some other goals y'all haven't mentioned would be goals to include parents or include church or include the community more in school. If there's no goals for us to work toward, our schools are going to drift with the current. I don't go canoeing really, but if you don't have a goal to go upriver and you keep working at it, then you're going to stop rowing and you're going to float right back downstream, and somebody else is going to have to row the boat back up again. Ground will have to be gained because it was lost if we don't have goals. I think that's just an obvious observation. And I talked about how the men in the parable had to use patience. So I think it's important, if we set a goal, we need to figure out how to measure it so that we don't just lose out in the middle and think we aren't getting anywhere. We need to be able to measure the incremental gains. What if we set goals that we get resistance from our communities toward? I've got a great answer for you, but sometimes we have to either reevaluate the goal, because that is who we're working for, or work to bring them on board with us. Let's think pretty practically. Maybe I jumped ahead a little bit because y'all gave some practical suggestions of what our goals should be. I'll suggest things that I think many of you know, but it's good to remember, especially with our small schools and small school boards. One goal that is quite important is write things down. And I'm learning about how important writing things down is. I think it's difficult sometimes when we have businessmen maybe that are self-employed and or just maybe someone who's working for a boss. They don't go to a lot of meetings. Then they have a school board meeting and they haven't learned how to take good notes, keep good minutes, keep good records. So a lot of decisions or a lot of discussion just goes right out the door when the board members walk out. So if you're going to change something, you better write it down. And there's a lot of good things that come from writing policy. Board members change, and so they need to be able to see what was decided. Staff wants to know what's decided, and if we're not good at communicating it to them, then hopefully we at least hire people that can read, and if we give them a piece of paper, they can read for themselves. I remember when I was teaching, sitting in a parent teacher meeting, and somebody raised the question whether they could wear or whether the children could come to school barefoot or not. And some people thought they had decided something about that a long time ago. And other people said no, they didn't think they ever had. And somebody did eventually go look at the bylaws, which was a very old document. And it didn't say anything about whether you had to have your shoes or your feet covered or not. And I kind of forget how that came out again. I think we didn't really end up with barefoot children at school, I don't think. But they had nothing written down. Whether it ever was decided before, nobody ever knew because nobody could agree on it. But that's an example when that would have helped them out. What are some goals we could have about staff needs? Unfortunately, in my blunt opinion, finding teachers or the way we staff our schools is a tremendous debacle. What are some ways we could make some gains there? What are some goals we could have to improve that system? I'm not really looking for new answers.
Maybe in the first place, just having a system.
Right. Instead of start.
Instead of just, I guess I'll call this person and see if they can teach for me. Or maybe just have a few guidelines that are written down that we don't just ask people without knowing who they are.
Right. And maybe some guidelines on that. We will contact three people that know the person and get an evaluation. At least three. You know, we will, and maybe at least one has to be ministry from that church or something like that. We get a lot of new teachers, and I'm not sure how you can avoid that. So what are some goals we could have to make a new teacher's experience better? We're going to have them, so we might as well help them. What are some goals for that? Exactly. Excellent goal.
CLE has a training week. Have you heard of that?
That's right. Okay, goals are get this teacher trained, if at all possible.
And those are good, but you can't be a hands-on experience. If at all possible, the teacher is going to be hired during the previous school year, so he can come to the school he's going to be teaching and work alongside an experienced teacher. I know that's not always possible.
Not always possible, but it's a good goal.
It was for me. When I started teaching, I was a young spring chicken, didn't know much about teaching, and I taught for 2 weeks as a student teacher alongside experienced men in the school where I was going to teach. That was invaluable.
Yes. That was an excellent choice. Most of us probably never got that opportunity, but if we could provide it, that would be excellent. How about an enrichment or support program where the board is, and it could be for all the teachers, not just the new one, but you know, having weekly meetings, we're discussing just teacher concepts, just how to do well in the classroom, all kinds of things you could talk about. And we know, we hear often these kind of talks, well, what do you do about teachers? Oh, well, you should grow your own. Well, that's a great idea. So do you have a program where your high schoolers get a chance to be teachers' helpers? Couldn't you give credit for that as part of your high school program? And then can you hire them as soon as they get their diploma, you know, or something along that line? Well, we should keep moving here. We're still talking about goals we can have. Another goal that probably would be good for a lot of us, some of you do very well at this, but just board members investing more time at school and visit the classroom. So I was listening to a recorded talk from a school board member a while ago, and he talked about the prevailing wind in our schools. And it's kind of referring to culture, the school culture. But school boards need to have their finger in that wind and know which way it's blowing. Where I live, the weather comes from the west. And if it's coming from the west, it could be a thunderstorm, but it is usually not too bad. But if the wind blows from the east, you're going to get a lot of cold and a lot of snow in the wintertime anyway. Do we as board members have our finger in that wind and know which direction it ought to be coming from? And if it isn't, do we know what's coming next or could be? Another reason for us to invest more time at school is to, especially if board members have not been a teacher in the past, to just begin to learn what good teaching looks like and what difference the little things makes, and can you see the little things teachers doing to make it work well for our students. That way we're able to speak with our staff more knowledgeably. Another goal, and you'll need to talk to Jonathan Irv or maybe some of you others, I'm not an expert on achievement tests, but my school is working towards beginning to use them. Maybe you all use them, but that's a tremendous tool, and if you haven't, you should set a goal to start. And one of the things that's close to my heart right now for a goal for school boards to set is go to events, school events. I've handed out flyers, and if you haven't got one of these flyers, you need to get them. This is a new event we're going to be running this October in Spokane, specifically for school leaders and school board members. Those are so important, that kind of thing. You've also maybe heard of CASB, that's the Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute that happens through the East and Midwest every year. Of course, we have WFTI. There's a lot of things that we can learn that we don't know. And those kind of things, we learn from each other in visiting, we learn from instructors. We need to go. I'm not sure how else to say that, but go to those things. And get all your buddies. I mean, put pressure on your other board members, put pressure on your ministry. Maybe pressure isn't the right thing, but encourage them. Let's make up a van and go. It's just a day. We'll be back tomorrow. And it's just invaluable to go do that. All right, we're going to take a turn for the negative here and look at point number three, the lack of foresight. So this is focused on the third servant. And he got his money. And apparently his boss intimidated him. He says, I know you're a hard man. So I'm guessing he wanted to protect himself. He didn't want to lose his boss's money, because then he knew he'd be in a world of hurt. So he just took it and dug a hole and buried it. It'll stay right there until the boss comes back, and I'll give it right back to him. I would say he was afraid of risk. He was not willing to risk anything. Now, he had a little bit of foresight, but it was not beyond the end of his nose. It was nearsighted foresight, because he had the foresight to know that his boss would get him in big trouble if he didn't give it back, but he didn't have the foresight to think much further than that. So, in the hole. Now, his boss called him lazy and also wicked. Another thing that he didn't apparently think about was that being faithful in this responsibility could lead to more, an advancement, basically. Apparently, he didn't think about that. Maybe he didn't even want greater responsibility. All right, so comments from you. How can we be like the third servant with our schools? We're given something incredibly valuable. What kind of things might we do that are just like he did?
I think the most obvious thing is just plain neglect. What he did, he just let it be. And maybe we have situations at times that we don't want to make a decision or we don't want to take the responsibility for it because we're afraid of negative popularity. There's a lot of negative popularity and just neglect, too.
Mm-hmm.
Might not be quite as immediate. But.
So we could say, if I'm understanding what you mean, maybe just kind of maintain the status quo. This is how it's been. This is how it stay. When I go off the school board, there thou hast that is thine. Okay, some more. How about nearsightedness? I said his foresight was nearsightedness. It bothers me when I hear school board members, usually they're joking, laughing, but, well, I'll be off in a year, you can take care of it after that. If we all have that attitude, where are we going to end up? What about risk? I mentioned he was scared, he was afraid of risk. Do we absorb risk on our school boards? Do we risk things? What do we risk?
Dare to try something new.
Right. What happens if parents don't like it? What happens if it doesn't work? Never mind.
What happens if you make an argument? I mean, what happens if part of the patrons align with it and others don't?
Right. What happens? Oh, what happens? Maybe we'll just keep doing what already isn't working. I'm being a little sarcastic, but make a point. Now, the other day, we could have a disease that, I don't think all of you are here, so I'll explain. We could have a disease that Mr. Bean talked about. He said you could have the disease of laziness, and that is spelled like this. So school board members could have disease of laziness. And I had been a teacher for a couple years, and then I moved back home. I became a school board member. And one thing I learned was how incredibly hard it is for me to get out of my work truck and into that schoolroom during the week. It seemed, when I was a teacher, I thought if they would just prioritize it and do it, they could get this done. Well, I have a little more sympathy now. It is difficult to take time out of a busy schedule to get to school. I guess it's laziness because it can be done, but it meant for this past year, it meant it went on my schedule with all my appointments or my service calls. Thursdays is when I tried to go, and if I couldn't do Thursday, I had to tell her I was going to be coming Friday, but I did my best to make it happen. And I usually took my wife, and in this case, we didn't have children, so it wasn't too hard for her to get free. But if you're going to take someone with you, then that just compounds it. Maybe you have more than one teacher. That's fine. We just had one teacher, so I like to take my wife along. So still talking about just a bit laziness. You know, well, it seems to be going fine, right? Schools, we haven't heard anything bad from school. Must be okay. I should go visit sometime, but meh. So are we like this man? He had something valuable, but just... Now, another problem that we can have is maybe you're on a board with other members who lack foresight. and you're the five talent guy, but your other board members are the buried in the ground guys. What do we do? That can be very discouraging and frustrating if you've got a lot of vision and there's just, or a lot of enthusiasm and there's just nobody with you. I'll give you a few minutes or a few seconds. What would you suggest doing?
Work together. You always accomplish more working together than by yourself. That's mm-hmm. the way God designed it.
Mm-hmm.
We need to stimulate action.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Our idea is best, but we gain more product by working together than alone. Mm-hmm. I say that. I think they understand what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Better an idea.
Mm-hmm. And to work together, I think one of the things that I neglect probably the most is prayer. We need to pray about those kind of things. And just keep on praying, even if nothing is changing. Another concept that's interesting to me, it's probably a verse you know, comes from Ecclesiastes 10, verse 10. If the iron be blunt, and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. I think we need to pray for wisdom to whet that edge, so that when we come up, when we discuss things in the meeting, it's not put to more strength. That don't work. And I've already mentioned, encourage them. Say, I'm going to PSLI. Would you like to come along with me? Could you get the day off? Be a good example. Give them opportunities for greater involvement at school. Maybe delegate a little more if that would be well received by them. Now, to wrap up this point, the lack of foresight, let's ask some questions. Did the boss lose anything on his lazy servant in this parable?
Yes.
Well, he got his money back.
He lost a lot of time.
All right.
And he lost a valuable potential resource in his servant as well.
So what was he looking for? What did he want when he came back?
Increase.
In growth. Increase. What's God looking for in our schools?
Lively servants for his house.
Mm-hmm. What kind of servants are we being with what's God given us, what God has given us? All right, we'll close up with the last point, the reward of foresight. I used to tell my students when they were working on something, I'd say, did you meet with success or did you just wave at him across the room? The first two students, or first two servants in the parable met with success and they doubled their investments. That was their reward. What's the reward that we can get if we use foresight to plan ahead and grow our schools? What do you think? What are rewards that we find by planning ahead? Well, one is, were you going to say something, James?
A school year that runs smoothly.
Right. And that's basically what I was going to say. One reward is you get to leave your fireman's hat on the wall a little more and you get to spend more time double-checking smoke alarms. We also, you can reap longevity from in your school. Some of that is former students becoming teachers. By planning ahead, paying attention, you can help keep your positive school culture and maintain it for 10 or 15 or 20 years. Keep that positive school culture going. Remember I said if you're not doing anything, you're going to go downstream. So it takes work to make that happen. Another more long-reaching effect, I think, is students that grow up and have their own children, but because of their school experience, they have a positive attitude towards education, towards their school. Then their children come to school with the attitude that their parents passed on to them. That's a long-range goal, but foresight will look at that. That's a reward. If we exercise foresight and maintain our schools appropriately, the school likely won't become a flashpoint for strife like it does sometimes in our churches. Anything to share from you all?
To the contrary, what you just said, they can be, and in the areas of how we think and communicate and work together, a major positive contributor to our churches.
Mm-hmm. I think another reward of foresight plays in what we were talking about earlier when it comes to hiring a teacher. Schools do develop reputations.
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of reputation a school develops has a lot to do with how proactive the board is.
Right. And y'all are aware that most teachers have cell phones, and they often have each other's numbers. So, oh, well, I know her. She just quit. You might have a problem on your hands. I think I talked to the teacher previous to me when I started teaching. In conclusion, how many talents were the first two servants given? Easy answer. How many was it? You could look if you don't remember. Five and two. They were given seven talents. How many talents were they actually responsible for? That's not a trick question either.
The ones they were given.
But the guy with one gave back the one he was given, but that wasn't good enough. How many were they actually responsible for?
10 and 4.
14 talents. We've been given small schools and probably in small churches. What are we actually responsible for? Can you and I afford to just finish my term and let someone else worry about it? Thank you.